Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Peter tonight. We've been in our series on pursuing spiritual growth. Pursuing spiritual growth. You know, here in 2 Peter, in these first five verses in chapter 1, he writes about God's part. And God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And, you know, God has done His part to help us in our spiritual growth journey. But we also have a part we see in verses 5 through 9 where He tells us where to add to our faith. And that's the foundation. Our faith is the foundation of the Christian life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved. We're saved by faith through in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He tells us upon that foundation of faith, we're to add to that faith. And we've talked about three of these character qualities that we're to add to our faith. And we've talked about virtue, knowledge. Last week, temperance. But tonight, we're going to add to temperance, He says, patience. Let's read these verses, beginning verse 5. He said, and beside this, in other words, beside all that God's done for you, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures because it's through the scriptures that we are sanctified. And Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. And we can learn something tonight from your word. And it's through your word that we are saved as well. And it's how we grow as we get into your word and feast on it. And begin to obey it and to walk in the principles of your word that we grow. And Lord, we thank you for caring enough about us that you have given us these scriptures tonight to challenge us to pursue spiritual growth. Lord, it's something that we have to want. It's something that we have to desire and to pursue in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, speak to us tonight and challenge us once again. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to share again what I shared last week, what Adrian Rogers, he said that if you are not growing in grace, you are living in disgrace. And, you know, we don't want to be a disgrace to the Lord. We don't want to be a disgrace to the testimony of Christ. You know, it's our responsibility to grow. You know, God, as we said, He's done His part, but it's our responsibility to actively pursue maturity in Christ. It's our responsibility. And so tonight, as we look at this next virtue here, if we call it that, or a character quality, the Lord wants us to add to our Christian faith, and that is patience. Patience. How many of you could use a little more patience? You know, I think all of us. And you better be careful if you pray for it. Because you know what's going to come if you pray for patience. There's going to come trials. What does it mean tonight? We're going to look at the definition of patience. The first thing tonight. What does it mean to be patient? You know, remember last week I shared this. While temperance has to do with handling the pleasures of life, patience has primarily to do with the pressures and problems of life. So temperance has to do with the pleasures of life. You know, remember, temperance is, it's like exercising self-control. But patience has to do with the pressures and problems, how we handle pressures in life. Webster's dictionary, this is what he says. I want to read some of his definitions. He said, it's having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness. Well, that's not easy to do sometimes, is it? To murmur or fret. Sustaining afflictions of body or mind with fortitude, calmness, or Christian submission to the divine will. He said, another definition, not easily provoked, calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses, not revengeful. Another one, persevering, constant in pursuit or exertion, calmly diligent. So those are some of the definitions that we find from Webster, but I want to give you a definition from the Greek word that Peter uses here. It means staying under. It has the idea of bearing under trials. And the idea behind that is staying power. Staying power, just staying with it. You know, when the fiery trials come, when the difficulties come, when the pressures of life come, when the problems come, patience means you're staying under it. You're continuing on. The idea of constancy, steadfast endurance under adversity. Thinking about those definitions, I believe all of us tonight would realize that this is definitely something that we need to add to our faith if we're going to grow. It's definitely something that we need in our Christian life. You know, looking at the context of what Peter's writing here in 2 Peter, you know, the readers of this epistle, if you will read these three chapters, you're going to find that two things. They were being attacked or under pressure from two things. Number one, false teachers from without. You know, in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so they had this pressure of these false teachers coming in to deceive them and lead them astray. But the second thing that you'll find in this epistle is that they were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing persecution. So we have false teachers that were within the church, persecution from without the church. And here's another thing I read about the history of what was going on about the time that Peter wrote this second epistle. There was a massive fire that destroyed much of the city of Rome. And there was a growing suspicion about the Emperor Nero being behind the fire. And so this Emperor Nero, he decided to use Christians as the scapegoat. And I don't know if history ever tells us exactly where the fire came from, but anyway, he decided to blame the Christians for the fire, and he pointed out that they often preached on hellfire. And so, as a result of this, severe persecution broke out against Christians in Rome. Severe persecution. One Roman historian, he described what happened at this time. He said Christians were covered with wild beast skins and torn to death by wild dogs. Can you imagine that? They dressed them in these animal skins and threw them out to hungry wild dogs to be eaten. They were eaten alive. He said, or they were fastened on crosses. and when daylight failed, were burned to serve as lamps at night. Can you imagine that? Being set on fire at night to be a lamp? You know, talk about some severe persecution. And so we need to understand when Peter's writing in the context of the Roman Empire, the time the timing that he's writing this epistle, these Christians in this day and time were undergoing some great persecution. You can even see that theme in 1 Peter as well. And in fact, Peter was writing this second epistle on the eve of his death. Peter, as many of you know, he suffered a martyr's death. From what history tells us, he was crucified upside down. And the reason why, he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like his Lord. So he told his persecutors to turn him upside down and to crucify him upside down. You know, if there's one thing that these early believers needed at this time, it was to be patient and steadfast under persecution. You know, sometimes when we think about that historical fact of Christian history, our trials begin to look small, don't they? You know, we think that we're really suffering, and there are people around the world that are suffering much worse than we are. But nevertheless, we need patience. We need to be steadfast. There are a lot of Christians that are getting out of the race. They're no longer running the race with patience. You know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talks about that. Laying aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. And he tells us to run the race with patience. The race that's been set before us. That word patience there is the same word here. We're to run it with patience. God has set a race before us. We're going to face some difficulties. We're going to face some trials. We're going to face some hardships. We're going to face some pressures and problems in life. But he says you're to endure it with patience. Stay under it. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. You need to add to your faith that staying power to stay faithful under persecution. Stay faithful when problems come to your life. Stay faithful when trials hit your home. When illnesses come and attack your family, stay faithful to God. Keep under the trials. You know, a lot of times that, you know, God allows these things to come into our life to try our faith, to purify our faith, to strengthen our faith, to grow our faith so that we can grow as Christians. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. But you know, sometimes Satan will try to use them for the negative effect. He tries to use them to discourage us. Satan tries to use these things to get us out of the ministry, to get us out from being faithful to God. You know, I can tell you there's been more times than I care to number. And I'm not trying to scare Brother Robert, but there's been many times in the ministry that I wanted to quit. Many, many times. I just want to say, I just want to walk away and just live a normal life. Just be a normal Christian. Just go out there and get a job and not have to worry about the problems that people have, not having to be there to minister, just to go away somewhere. You know, we all face those things in life and ministry, but patience is needed. Patience is needed. In fact, one way that we prove ourselves as the servants of God is by having much patience. I want you to hold your place here and let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, You see what Paul's saying? He said, this is how we approve ourselves. This is how we prove ourselves in the ministry, is by much patience. Much patience in afflictions, necessities, distresses. You know, I'm really respect men of God that stay in the ministry for many, many years. And you know, the pastor over in Borger, I want you to pray for him, Brother Jimmy Gilmore. He had surgery, I believe it was, it's probably been a couple of weeks now. He had a tumor on one of his kidneys, and they had to take his kidney out. They had to take out his urethra. And, you know, they said for a young guy, it would take about 4 months to recover from that kind of surgery. And this guy's 81 years old, I believe. And he's been at Riverview Baptist Church in Borger for 51 years as pastor. Isn't that amazing? He was 30 years old when he became pastor there. And last year I went there to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a pastor of the church. I mean, that's just amazing to me. And this is the most humble man of God you'll ever meet. The most humble, the most generous, the most kind, the most loving man of God that you will ever meet. You talk about a man that has patience now. Much patience. Can you imagine 50 years of ministry in a church? What kind of things he's gone through? And he's still at it. That's what patience means. Staying under it. Staying with it. Keeping in the race. And not giving up. Steadfast. You know, in 2 Peter, if you'll go back there in chapter 2, I want you to notice something in verse 9. You know, we talked about early in the message and in the first four verses, you know, God's part, he gives us these exceeding great and precious promises, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, God's done all these things for us. But I want you to notice something here in 2 Peter 2:9. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, you understand temptations in our Bible, it has two different meanings. Depending on context, depending on how it's used. In one sense, it's used of temptation to evil. Now, God does not tempt man like that, does he? Now, Satan will. You know, Satan can tempt us to do evil, but God doesn't. There's another sense of temptation in the Bible, and the example I know of that's most common is of Abraham in Genesis 22. It said that the Lord tempted Abraham. What does it mean? That means he tried Abraham. It's speaking of temptation in the sense of a trial. And James will clarify that. If you go and read James chapter 1, you know, where it says the Lord does not tempt any man. You know, he's talking about to sin. And so we have to get the context. We have to understand. I believe right here, in the context of the trials that he's talking about here, and the persecutions and all these things, he's talking about trials, temptations in the sense of fiery trials. And so it says here, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. You know, in other words, we have no excuse for not being patient. When we get in a place of difficulty that we just think that we can't continue on, there's no way we can keep on keeping on for the Lord. There's no way we can continue as things are. That's when we have to go to the Lord. Because the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows. And you know, that's exactly, I'm convinced of it. That's exactly why he allows us to get to that place to start with. He allows us to get to a place of just total desperation that we have no place to go but to him. Well, we have to look to him. We have to say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need you. I need you to come and either change my circumstances or change my heart. You know, one or the other, Lord, you're going to have to do it or I'm not going to make it. And the Bible teaches here, he's able. He knows how to deliver. But let's look at our part. Let's ask this question on our part. How can we add patience to temperance? You know, these are building blocks of our faith. You know, we add virtue to our faith, knowledge to our virtue, temperance to knowledge, and then now we add patience to temperance. I hope you see that connection here. You know, when we get in faces of temptation with the pleasures of life, you know, that's temperance. We face those things in our life and those difficulties. And as I said, a lot of times when there's pressure in life, many times that's when we succumb to temptation. And so they go together. You need both of them. You need both temperance and patience. How do we add it? You know, I want you to go to 1 Peter. Let's go back to his first epistle, chapter 4, just a moment. And while you're turning there, I just want to say that if you wasn't here this morning, that I preached on the revival of spirit-filled living. And it's up on our sermon audio website now, so you can listen to it if you missed it. But I would tell you right off the bat, before we look at some of these truths that we're fixing to look at, I want to just tell you the way to add patience to temperance is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. And long-suffering, though it's a different word than patience, it's basically the same thing. You know what long-suffering means? It means to suffer long time. I mean, I'm serious. That's exactly what it means. It has the same idea. We're talking about patience here, enduring adversity. Long-suffering. You endure hardship, wrong, whatever. And so it's a fruit of the Spirit. So be Spirit-filled. I mean, you need God's help to have this patience to endure. But I want you to look what Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." He said, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." In other words, what he's saying there in verse 15, sometimes we suffer for our own sins. He said, don't suffer that way. As he said in verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God..." I want you to notice this word right here. "Commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Now, word commit. How can we add patience to our temperance? Well, commit to God. Commit it to him. You know, this word commit, I want to just explain. And the word that Peter used here, the idea is to make a deposit. You know, let me give you an illustration. When we go to the bank with our paycheck or with some money to make a deposit, we are committing that money to the bank. We are trusting that the bank will handle our money. We're trusting that the bank is going to keep it and protect it so that when we need it, it's going to be there. That's the word Peter used, that word commit. It means to deposit, to entrust. And so he's telling us here that let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. So in other words, he said we need to entrust God. We need to commit to him, trusting him to take care of our souls, take care of our lives through these trials. Trust that God knows what he is doing. Just like you trust the bank. I mean, you go to the bank, you make that deposit. You trust that that teller knows what she's doing. You trust that she's going to put it in your bank account. You just have faith in that, don't you? You drive off, you get a receipt, and you might look and make sure it's got your bank account number. But listen, you have faith. You've entrusted that bank with your money. Well, that's what he said God tells us to do when we suffer. When we go through trials, when we go through the pressures and problems of life, what does he tell us to do? Let's commit it to God. Let's entrust our problems to God. Let's trust that he knows what he is doing in our lives. And that's what I believe is adding patience to our faith when we do that. Because we're going to him saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to give me the endurance, the steadfastness, the patience, the continue. I'm going to trust you to see me through. You know, in verse 12, that first verse, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is the trial you have some strange thing happen unto you. We shouldn't be shocked and surprised when trials come. You know, these false preachers out there preaching this prosperity gospel saying that, you know, if you love Jesus and you serve Jesus and you commit your life to Jesus and you give us all this money, you're going to be prosperous. You know, they always got to add that part. You got to give that faith offering. You got to give them money, send them money, and you will be prosperous. You will be in good health. And listen, the Bible does not teach that. You know, there's a lot of these charismatics out there, they believe that our physical healing is in the atonement. That Christ died so that we could be healed. But you know, if you study that passage, and it's actually found in 1st or 2nd Peter, I can't remember which one, but it's talking about spiritual healing from our sins. Yes, one day when I get to heaven, I'll be physically healed. But you know, in this life, we find there's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be, you know, Paul said in Romans 8, we groan in this body. We groan waiting for the adoption, he said, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You know, if we were completely healed, we wouldn't be waiting for that, would we? You know, we're looking for something better in heaven to come. But you know, in this passage, he doesn't really say, you know, if these trials come. It's almost like he's saying, when they come, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. They are going to come. Trials are inevitable. They're going to come. But he instructs us here not just to commit to God, but he instructs us to have the right attitude in trials. What does he tell us there in verse 13? But rejoice. So don't think it strange. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when they come. But he says, rejoice. Rejoice. You know, we rejoice not because we have the trials. That's not why we rejoice. We rejoice because of what the trials do for us. That's why we rejoice. You know, it's kind of like James. If you look over in James chapter 1. Look in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Here he's talking about diverse trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what does it say? Worketh patience. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, this word perfect meaning mature and complete. Talking about our spiritual maturity, talking about our spiritual growth. And so what he's saying here, count it all joy. Why do we count it all joy? Knowing this. Trials are what? Work and patience. You know, as we go through trials, you know what they do? They help build more patience. You know, God knows exactly what we can handle. He knows what we can't handle. And, you know, sometimes people like to say this, God will never put up on me more than what he knows I can handle. But I want to tell you something. That's not always true. Sometimes God puts things upon us that we can't handle. You say, really, preacher? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. He puts things on us we cannot handle. I'm talking about in ourselves. I mean, it crushes us. But why? It causes us to commit our souls to God as unto a faithful Creator. That's what it does. And so then, as we commit it to God and God gives us that patience to endure what we're going through, so our patience grows. And as it grows, we become more mature in our Christian walk. Our faith becomes strong. And so we are to rejoice, not because of the trial itself, but because of what trials do for us. You know, if you'll look back in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to look in verse 6 and 7. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, fire doesn't destroy gold, does it? What does it do? It purifies it. It will purify it. You know, God doesn't send trials to destroy us. He sends trials to purify us. And you know, when we realize what the purpose of trials are in our life, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because of what they're doing for us. We can rejoice knowing that the trying of our faith is more precious than that of gold. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to work in its patience, and eventually it's going to bring us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. And it says here that it's going to be found under praise and honor and glory. You know, if we can get our eyes on that God saved me, God put me here for His honor, for His glory. You know, it's not about me. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about having everything we want. It's not about having an easy life. It's about glorifying Christ. And to do that, sometimes He takes us through some pretty fiery trials. Because through those fiery trials, the light shines. We are purified. Our faith grows. Our patience grows. And you know, I think of, you know, many of you are going to agree with this, Miss Denise McCutcheon, and she's that battle with cancer, but just to read her post on Facebook and just to hear the words coming out of her mouth or off of her typing on Facebook, whatever you want to say. But just to see her giving praise to God, her spirit of rejoicing and always giving glory to the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just a shining testimony. That woman has got patience. She's added patience to her faith. She's enduring under adversity. And she's bringing glory to Christ. You know, but if we sit here and focus on ourselves, we think, well, this hurts, or this, start feeling pity for ourselves and all these things. Listen, we're not going to have patience. Amen. We're going to get discouraged and give up. And so how do we get patience? Well, commit it to God. Rejoice in these trials. Realize that God's working something great in your life. That the trial is going to pass one day. It's not. It's just temporary. You know, I like how Peter said it there in verse 6 again. Though now for a season. You see that? For a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. It's just for a season, folks. It's not going to be forever. Our trials ain't going to be forever. You know, we're going to get through it. Let's just commit it to God. Let's trust Him. Let's realize that this is part of our learning and our pursuing spiritual growth, is adding this patience to our faith, enduring the pressures and problems of life. Let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, tonight we want to thank You that You are the God of all grace, that You are a God of patience. Lord, we read that in the Scriptures, and we know that You are able to deliver us out of manifold temptations, Lord. You're able to help us to keep on keeping on, to be steadfast and to be faithful in the midst of fiery trials. Well, I can't imagine what some of those in Peter's day had to go through. I can't imagine having to be nailed to a cross and then burned on that cross. I can't imagine being fed to wild dogs and being able to rejoice in that. I can't imagine it, Lord. I know, Lord, You gave those Christians grace to endure and patience to endure. Many of those Christians, as we read their testimonies in some of the historical books, Fox's Book of Martyrs and so on, Lord, we read that many of them were singing praise with their last breath. They were giving praise to You, O God. Even while their body was burning, they were giving praise to You. They were honoring You. Lord, they were enduring. They were patient. They were steadfast. Lord, help us to be inspired by their testimony, their example, Lord, and that we too will, whatever we go through in our life, whatever pressures, whatever trials, Lord, that we had just committed to You. We'd entrust You that You are going to work out Your plan in our life. You're going to bring good out of what we're going through. Lord, that we'd just be steadfast and continue on and be faithful to what You've called us to do. Lord, that we would pursue this, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in His precious name. Amen. Tonight, Lord,